Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Later this hour, we talk about the government shutdown's impact on local residents. If you or your family is being impacted, we want to hear your story. Or if you're involved with providing supports and services to those impacted, we want to hear from you. Call us at 866-999-4626 or send an email to thepointcapeandislands.org. But first, we discuss a documentary film by Cape Cod native Jody Hassett Sanchez. The film is titled More Art Upstairs, and it follows four artists as they compete in Art Prize in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which awards $500,000 in prize money. Jody Hassett Sanchez, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So give us a synopsis of how Art Prize works and how many artists tend to participate.
Well, it's this democratic but truly controversial art competition that gives away over $500,000 in prize money, and that's actually more money than in any other art contest or grant there is. And that money is evenly split between a public vote and then juried awards. I like to say it's kind of a mashup of Art Basel and American Idol. And the contest lasts 3 weeks, and any building or open space, a store, a school, a bank, a bar, a laundromat, within this three-mile radius of downtown Grand Rapids can be, and usually is, an exhibiting venue. And anyone from anywhere in the world can enter their art in the contest. Now, to vote, you have to physically go to Grand Rapids and register on your phone. And then you walk around Grand Rapids, take in all the art, and vote for your favorite work for the public vote. And you can actually keep changing your vote up until the final hours.
Wow. And how many artists are usually participating in this?
They've now got up more than 1,500.
Wow.
I think they were even higher last time.
Yeah. So what are some of the aspects of the competition that intrigued you?
Well, I've been concerned for a long time about why most folks don't feel that art has anything to do with their lives. There's this disconnect between what we do every day and art. And that wasn't always the case. And I think that was kind of something I was casting about for a while, because I'm pretty convinced that art matters. But I think for most of human history, it has. I mean, the visual arts were this direct expression of the society that made them. I mean, art was carried into battle. Art in churches told stories to those who couldn't read. But then in the past 100 years or so, I think art's been reduced to being mainly something we look at in white cubes, right? Brightly lit galleries and museums. It's passive, another tourist attraction to see, to take a picture in front of, and then move on. And I guess that's bothered me. So I was looking for what would be a lens through which I could kind of explore questions about why do most people just accept this idea as art having nothing important to say about who we are, and that there are artists who don't feel any obligation to say something to us. So I was interested, and then an art collector friend told me about this amazing contest, and I was initially skeptical. Background in journalism, I went out there, and it was like this alternative universe. You walk into any bar or restaurant in Grand Rapids during Art Prize, and people aren't talking politics, they're not talking sports, they're debating art. And as you see in the film, the local newscasters breathlessly on the evening broadcast talk about which pieces are winning or which are doing well, and the headlines on the local newspapers are about art. So it's this kind of just fantastic. I was like, where am I? And I'm in the Midwest in this tiny town. So I loved that. And then I think the fact that there's this public vote and kind of a capital A art world vote, and there's usually a tension between what the two select, struck me as a pretty interesting lens through which to ask the kinds of questions that I guess I'm still asking.
So the film loosely follows the stories of four different artists. So how did you describe who to how did you figure that out, who to follow?
Well, I think I come from a long background in network news producing, so you learn to cast a wide net. So I started about a year early trying to find, even though in documentaries you're dealing with real people rather than a feature film where you cast your characters, there's perhaps a little bit of that. And then I knew I wanted a kind of a variety of people, and I knew odds were not all of them would continue. Some might win, some might lose. So we started out filming, and it's over a limited period of time. So about a year in advance, I started calling the different venues and looking at the artists as they submitted their works. And I knew I wanted somebody who was very sort of East Coast, established New York. I wanted someone from the Midwest. And then one of the things that I think about a lot that was really important at Art Prize is they figured out how to open this up to the public. There's nothing intimidating about Art Prize. It's audience-centric rather than artist or curator-centric. And so I was really interested in artists who got that, because one of the things the artists that do the best with the public at Art Prize, they physically stand in front of their works of art all day, every day. And that's kind of a change for most artists who paint, put their up there and say, you know, take it or leave it, it's hanging here on the wall. So I knew I wanted to capture that aspect of this because it's a big part of Art Prize. So I cast a wide net. For the first, you know, sort of like a relationship, you have to woo people and gain their trust. And so there were, I'd be 7 or 8 artists who I was working with. And then we had 4 film crews working around the clock. And then we picked up 2 artists while we were out there just because they were so delightful. They're this team called the Tape Art Crew from Providence, Rhode Island. And they take adhesive tape and create these scenes on 3, 4, 5-story buildings outside. And they were characters. So we sort of found them while we were there. And then, of course, 1 or 2 characters will drop out. But we were fortunate, I don't want to give the story away, but we were fortunate to follow characters who actually stayed the whole week, 3 weeks, and actually, you know, some of them, I won't say who, prospered in the contest.
So the organizers of Art Prize hope to engage more of the public with art, not, as you're saying, not just in galleries or museums, but in their communities. Explain the Site Lab at Rumsey Street and some of the installations in that area.
Well, Site Lab, the year that we filmed, was literally on the other side of a street that's called Wealthy Street. And it is truly, as I came to understand it, the dividing line between sort of the renewed Grand Rapids, which is very much like parts of Boston and places that were these industrial towns and are now like increasingly hip and therefore costly. The other side of Wealthy Street is predominantly Hispanic and African Americans who've still fundamentally been left out of Art Prize, even though I don't think it was intentional. So Site Lab is this kind of really interesting arts collaborative, and they took over an entire, it was a church, there was a seminary, there was actually a place for nuns and a school. All these buildings were empty and were purchased by Habitat for Humanity, but they gave them to Art Prize to Site Lab for 2 years. So each of those buildings was taken over by a separate artist to kind of do with as they will for Art Prize. And it was fantastic. And one of the artists that we followed, he's a New York artist who's been in Art Basel in various places, he came and essentially reimagined this deconsecrated church. And he did more than that, though, because he came out before Art Prize and really got to know the people in the neighborhood. I think he's as much a sociologist as he is an artist. So he spoke to a lot of the different people and got to know them and learn the history of the church and why it was so important to folks. And there's this woman, and she's in the film, and she runs a hair salon right across the street from the church. And going over there every day, again, they're talking about art. They're saying, what is going on over there? What's this guy doing to our church? There's this wonderful sort of alchemy that happens over the course of the contest, in that they all come to see this as something new, but something that's still part of their community. And he encouraged locals to come in and perform every night at the church. So it was sort of like a live mic, and people could come in, and it was pretty great. And they really, a lot of folks said, this is the first time that, you know, Art Lab has really, that Art Prize has come to our neighborhood. So it was pretty special. And now I think a lot of these folks feel more a part of their own community as a result of what Site Lab did by kind of planting an anchor over there on the other side of Wealthy Street.
And you're talking about Nick Klein.
Yes.
And you filmed some of his interactions with the neighbors as he's creating his installation. As you mentioned, he's interested in learning more about the people and the history of the neighborhood. Were other artists at Site Lab as engaged as Nick?
Well, I will say that we were so focused on our characters that sort of everyone else was in our peripheral line of vision at that point. So I don't really know the answer to that. I know that they cared, and there were different events. And one of the things that the fellow who runs Site Lab, I think this is in the film, but he really doesn't care about winning. What he really wants to do is get everybody out to see art and talk about art. So they have events, they have parties, they have live performances during the 3 weeks to get not just the cool people, but everybody in the neighborhood out. So I know that the folks, there's really a collaborative, because the work they do requires guys who know how to get up on super high ladders. They're doing a lot of physical labor as they reconstruct these various buildings. So I know they have a real commitment, and they work with a lot of folks in the area And then after Art Prize is over, they allow locals to come in and actually create art and do things in those same buildings. So I think that's their focus is on that, and they're spot on.
We have a clip from the film of Nick Klein.
Working on this project has opened me up to questions of access in different ways. Institutions like museums and art galleries, it's within a certain elitist and exclusive contemporary art vocabulary. I want people to feel welcomed and that there's no barrier to them coming into the space that I've been allocated. It's not in a bubble here on Rumsey Street.
It's interesting that his participation in the competition will further shape his next work, an example that the competition can engage not just the public, but the artists themselves in unusual ways. Did you see other instances of the competition influencing artists as they contemplated future projects?
I did, and that was why I really wanted to follow up with them, each of the artists in the film, a year later to see if that was the case. And I think it really has affected Nick. He does come back to Grand Rapids and take some other items that were taken out of that church and does another installation at the next Art Prize. And he really has sort of this heart for the place now. And Judith, who's this other character we follow, she's this kind of feisty 60-something lifelong New Yorker who uses her fingers dipped in charcoal to draw on walls. And she's really in the contest to win it. And you see her in the film kind of experiencing the highs and lows of what it's like for her every day to explain her art and answer the same questions day after day to the hundreds of people who come in and stand in front of her wall-sized art. And I thought, boy, will she ever do this again? And she has done, I think the payoff for Judith has been that she's had all these public commissions. So she's now traveling, doing wall-sized installations and engaging with the public. It's not for 3 weeks, for a day, but I think it sort of changed her. She was always very personable, but she's now much more externally facing and willing to, she wouldn't let us film her as she was creating the art on the wall in the museum. She said, I just need that time to myself, then you can hang out with me the rest of it. But I think she's now actually letting people in on her process as she's creating the art, which I think is kind of a shift for her. And the tape art crew, they're all about collaboration, so they kind of had that going on even before they came to Grand Rapids. They love to talk. They have kids. They talk to everybody, and then they actually sort of, it's very democratic. They'll say, what should we put on the wall? And kids will offer suggestions, and they'll help them make it. So they were sort of already on that path, I think.
Yeah, we have a clip from the film. This is Michael Townsend and Leah Smith, those one who craft the large mural on the side building with the painter's tape, which is just amazing to me. But let's take a listen.
So we're from Rhode Island. So we had to drive out here in that van over there, that brown van. So if you look at this drawing here, what we drew was the sidewalk, and it's an exact copy. That lamppost there is this lamppost right here. That tree is that tree, that tree is that tree. Four trees. Stood in the parking lot for about 20 minutes, and all we saw on this sidewalk are people going by on every mode of transportation. Name things with wheels.
Bike.
What else? Keep going.
Slide.
You can touch the tape. Feel free.
I want to hold it. Make it swim.
When they bring it back to the parents, you can tell them that there'll be new stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a great performance piece.
Yes. It's a really thick painter's tape. So this one, because it's thicker paper, it will hold these curves on the wall, so that's why you can curve it, because it's a thicker tape and a spongier adhesive.
Did that fall?
A lot of this is just patience. A lot of people are like, you're so talented. It's just doing repeated tasks over and over and over again. It's a little bit of a zen quality about it.
Who knew painter's tape could look so great?
I know. It's really extraordinary.
It is. And those kids are really into it. So tell us a little bit more about their piece and the public response to it.
Well, the public completely responded because you could walk by on day one while you were grabbing a sandwich down the street and see a small amount of tape up there and wonder what the heck this duo was doing. And then come by a week later and see just all the work. It's like you truly seeing the work unfold. And then one of the things that I think Art Prize really gets right is they work with all of the public schools in the area so that every public school student can come and spend a day at Art Prize. So about every day, guess who loves to go by and see what's going on at the wall but public school kids? So they're involved and helping, and it just keeps going. And the thing that you see is then in the film, about halfway through, there's this insane rainstorm. And that night, the tape art crew is thinking, what are we going to do? Because about half of the tape comes off the wall. So they have to kind of get up and start again the next day. It's not like they're in some sheltered gallery or museum. So you see them take a lot of hits. But they have an interesting perspective. And I think, they're just crazy. They're just a crazy duo. But they have a good perspective. But what they don't do is they never walk around, because they're so focused on the wall, and see what else is happening at Art Prize until kind of the end. And they come back and offer a pretty interesting analysis, their take on Art Prize, which I don't think I want to give away right now, but they definitely...
No, don't give it away, yeah. We're talking with Jodi Hassett-Sanchez about her documentary, More Art Upstairs. We'll have more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking about the documentary, More Art Upstairs, with the filmmaker Jodi Hassett-Sanchez. The film follows four artists as they compete in Art Prize in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which awards $500,000 in prize money. We're talking about Michael and Leah, and they don't, as you mentioned, they stay by their art. They don't seem preoccupied with the contest or the prize. They appear to be having the most fun of all the artists that you follow in the film. So you sort of touched on this. How does their attitude contrast with the artist Judith Braun, who you talked about a few minutes ago, who does the charcoal with her fingerprints? She's pretty competitive.
She's very competitive. And the thing that's, I think, different about Judith is that she has something of a New York pedigree. I mean, she has shown, she's been in every art movement from feminist art movements in the 60s. She's lived the artist's life. I mean, her whole... You see where she lives in New York, and she's given every she's almost like an art nun. I mean, her money all goes to her art, so she has dedicated her life to that. And she comes to Grand Rapids, and I think, and I don't think she would disagree with me, I think she was much more interested in the attention of the art world folks. And those were not the folks who fell in love with her art. It was the public. And I think that was a big change for Judith, because she's also a sensitive soul. And so coming from New York and knowing a lot of those folks, I think that was who she expected would kind of applaud what she was doing. And in fact, the public just goes crazy over what she does. So she has to kind of recalibrate. And I think the tape artists are much more take it as it comes. They're much more oriented towards the public all along. I don't think they came in with any expectations that someone from a snooty art magazine was going to give them a thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to get a sense while you were filming about how much the contest and prize money was weighing on the artists?
I think it was different from all of them. For all of them, one of the other characters, I don't think we've mentioned her yet, is I did want somebody from the area who represented kind of that Midwestern ideas. And there's a young lady, and she's just spectacular. She's a young mom, but she's also a super talented encaustic, which is using a wax painter. And she's very learned, and she does this amazing work, but she comes at it very differently. And I think she has the perspective that a lot of folks that come to the show from the Midwest have, and that is that the world is already ugly enough, so I want to make beautiful art. I want to make something that's beautiful and uplifting. And that's what she does. And now I've forgotten your question.
No, just about how it weighs on them.
Well, I think she never... I don't think she came in expecting to win anything. She thought, I'm going to do this. This is an opportunity. And when her husband apparently said, well, I guess you didn't win, she's like, I didn't? Well, I wasn't really expecting to. So I think people enter for different reasons. There's also some real kind of entrepreneurial types who come. They try and get placed, have their art put in some of the venues where just by the third week, it's just thousands of people passing through. It feels like Grand Central Station as people are going through. And they see it as an opportunity. I mean, you sort of feel like you're in a convention, like, hey, look at my art. Come here. And you've got some people who have a real shtick. And they end up, I think, leveraging that after the show and sell a lot of art. So there are people who come in there for very practical reasons, thinking, where other place am I going to go and show my art to, hundreds of thousands of people and then be able to sell it? So I think you have such a range of expectations from those folks to the people who really are looking for that critical acclaim. But I think if everyone was being honest, they would say, you know what, that prize money is certainly worth, is certainly something to go for here. I don't think anyone will deny that the prize money is an incentive.
Yeah. And you talked about that parallel award structure. You know, and you think of art being so subjective. We have a clip of the executive director of Art Prize, Christian Gaines, talking with Kevin Beist, the artistic director for Art Prize.
We have about another hour and 40 minutes of voting. We're at 370,000 votes. This one is surging within its category.
That's true. It's, and within the last day or so, it's gone up several ranks, which is super exciting.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's...
Because I like it.
Yes, exactly. And you know, it overtook something that I really can't stand.
Yeah. And it...
Something that is really super hideous to me and just wrong on so many different levels. But it's comfortably gone past it. I mean, there's definitely stuff in the public vote that we're thrilled about.
Yeah.
And then there's things in the public vote that we're not thrilled about.
Okay, so this conversation between these coordinators of this populist experiment in the arts appear to believe they have a better sense of art than the public. What were your thoughts as you filmed this conversation?
Well, first of all, getting that conversation was, I think it was like a 6-hour ordeal because they set a lot of, they didn't set ground rules in terms of letting me go behind the curtain or I wouldn't have done the film because this was really an independent film. This wasn't, you know, we had no financial or editorial involvement from Art Prize, and from the beginning I said we need to be able to film everywhere and everything, and I think that's why the films resonated with audiences, because we do pull back that curtain a bit. And I think by this point, in fairness, both the folks you just heard are kind of punchy because they haven't slept in a week or two, so they were super candid, and I think that's fair, because the thing that's hard for them is they organize this, they put it together, and at the end they have to stand up the gear and give the awards, and they do have their own ideas. And one of the things that you see with the public vote is the public likes works of art at Art Prize that are very big, that represent, that look like they took a lot of time, and some of them are just like extremely patriotic. And I think there are folks that work at Art Prize who just get a little, they get a little weary of that, and I think that's what you saw. So I want to be clear, it's not any kind of arrogance on their part, but I think it's a hard thing, because while they run it and are part of it, they have no say in what wins, and that's fairly unusual for anything of this kind.
Yeah, we have another clip from the film, and this, again, is Art Prize's artistic director, Kevin Beist.
This is the close of round two voting, you know? It's the final countdown. We really don't know who's going to win. The parallel award structure, the whole idea of it was to bring clarity around the difference within the event. But I think that the public has a much more overdeveloped and rigid notion of what artists should be doing. There's a 3D public vote finalist that is a series of 70s era banana seat bicycles. There's a juried finalist that's also a series of 70s style banana seat bicycles. So the public vote one, the bikes are completely hand carved out of wood. And there's little bits of the material that you can touch. And so the craftsmanship is really lovely, and they're beautiful objects. But people are responding to art as this exhibition of skill. And then the other bikes, they're collaboratively made. And so it's not about how much does Dylan Miner's technical skill measure up. It's a much more expansive notion of what art can be. Their sense of wonder around the ability to hand carve a bike, there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't want to invalidate that sense of wonder, because it is really remarkable craftsmanship. But I want to expand that sense of wonder. I want people to know that they can let go of what they think art needs to be.
After producing this documentary, did you get the sense that Art Prize does expand the public's sense of what art can be?
Well, I really appreciate how Art Prize encourages audiences to use their basic looking skills. And I love that Kevin he really talks about how just looking at art and talking about it is a great basis for critical thinking. So I think it's a start. I think they're sort of at this, next year will be the 10th anniversary. And I think they have a corner to turn if they want to kind of advance the conversation beyond that initial, you know, come in and see art and talk about it. And I think they're getting there, I mean, through the schools, through things. But I think the question is, where do they go from here? And I still think in what you just heard from Kevin there is, people who don't spend a lot of time around art it's fascinating, but they do have some of the strongest opinions about what art is and isn't. And what I actually learned was that Grand Rapids has this rich history of furniture making. It's sort of like the Gardner, Massachusetts of the Midwest. And it has this strong Calvinist heritage. And that helped me make sense of what the public likes there. They want works of art that are well-constructed and somehow contribute something to society. They don't just sit there and, you know, require you to figure them out. And it really matters to people there how much, you know, blood, sweat, and tears went into it. So work that was clearly harder to make is more valued. And I'm not sure that we're going to shift that or whether that needs to be shifted. I think there's room for that and for the art world folks who have a much more expansive notion of what art is. What I think is ultimately hopeful and what happens is Grand Rapids and why we finished the film right after the election, and I think you can put this in almost any sentence now. You know, I feel like it has this post-election relevance. But what I did see there that gave me hope is you saw people not just on Facebook sniping about what they liked or didn't like, but actually coming out in a public place, talking about their differences with others and having a conversation that ended up with people listening to why you like this, why you didn't like that, what you thought the artist was trying to say, the artist actually saying, here's why I did this. So to me, that is the most hopeful thing that comes out of all of this, because I do think kind of figuring out how we engage as some might call them coastal elites versus sort of Midwestern values, how do we have that conversation? And in a small way, I think Art Prize is contributing on that front.
We have a final clip from the film. Again, this is Kevin Beist. As he's talking, we see people gathered around dozens of suspended guns that form the shape of the United States. Tell us more about this piece before we hear the clip.
It was extraordinary. I mean, just looking at the faces of the folks watching this, it's hard to describe, but it's suspended in air on wires, and the guns form the outline that we all learned in school of the map of the United States, but it's all different kinds of weapons. And nothing more is said. You don't have any convoluted card on the wall explaining it to you. You just go there, you talk about it and look at it, and every single day that piece of art was, it was on a rooftop, it was surrounded by folks, and I sat in a couple different restaurants and bars, and that was the one people wanted to speak of the most, I think.
I think that Art Prize has had a long-term effect of getting more people to pay attention to art and getting more people engaged in the arts. Like, as we retreat into our own bubbles and into our own Facebook feeds, I do think that Art Prize stands out as this place where people can meet and talk and disagree about something. And that makes art really valuable because it becomes a commons. It becomes a shared space where people can come together and actually begin to understand how other people view the world. And I think that's crucially important, and that's becoming more and more rare.
There are a number of works in the Art Prize competition that touch on weighty topics such as gun rights, race, violence. Yet the film doesn't include conversations people were having about particular pieces. Were those conversations happening at Art Prize? You mentioned some in the coffee shops about the gun exhibit. If there were, is there a reason you didn't include them in the film?
No, it was. I would have loved to have had more of them. As you probably know, sometimes when you stand with a microphone, people tend to stop talking.
Right.
So we certainly did try. But I would say, you know, in terms of what our story was, that it would have been great to have some more. We have a few. I mean, there's the ladies. There's these ladies who gather in the hair salon, and they talk about art. And what I loved is here are three gals. One is the nail woman. The two other women work at the salon, and they kept me an hour waiting because they were all putting on their false eyelashes, and they weren't going to go on camera until they had them on right. But they deliver the most insightful remarks about these works of art across the street at the site lab. I thought, my goodness, you know, these people have not had any art history, and that these women are picking up on some really deep things. And I loved that. And I did hear that around town. You also hear the, hey, my kid could do that kind of school of thought from people. But it was mostly the fact that when you have a camera, sometimes those conversations aren't as candid as one would hope. And the ones that we had, we put as many of them as we could.
Yeah. Are other communities following the Art Prize model?
There are some other folks who are trying to do it, and we've shown the film in a few places where people are trying to drum up local support. I mean, it's a, like anything in the arts, getting the funding, getting the support of the community. And at this point, locals feel about it a little bit like the folks on Martha's Vineyard do when the president is in town, that, oh my gosh, traffic's so awful, I can't go into my favorite coffee shop, I'm just going to leave town during Art Prize. So it's been there long enough that some of the locals just get annoyed by the crazy traffic. But I think, yes, there's rumors of a benefactor in South Carolina who wants to start one. So yes, and I think people don't really get it till they go or see the film. When we premiered at Hot Docs in Toronto, there were at least 10 different people who came up to me and asked me about Art Prize. And then when I went back the next year, I saw them all there. So at least the film's getting people out there to see it. And I hope more places do, because it's a pretty unusual experiment. It's very different than sort of the arts and crafts fair that I think people initially think it might be. It's much more sophisticated, nuanced, and just this complete range of things that are aggressively kitschy to super high art that you would see in a Chelsea gallery.
Mm. You've been touring with the film for a while. Are there common themes in how audiences are responding?
Well, what's always fun is to find out what they would have voted for. And there's not actually a theme, that any kind of thing, a through line on that. It really depends on where you're showing the film. And I think the main characters also, like Judith, is a bit of a Rorschach test, depending on what kind of, some people identify with her because they're, and I'm thinking when we do these screenings on the Cape this week, she may be the most popular character with our audiences on the Cape. In other places, it's the young mom who's trying to balance work and her kids and then doing her art. So I think it's the characters that, as we know, good story showing rather than storytelling is first of, the viewer kind of wants to, if they can see themselves in another's shoes, then they go from there and think about the bigger ideas. So the conversations, an awful lot of them are generated about who these characters are.
Do you think artists and the public would be as invested in an art show if it didn't carry such a large prize? I mean, that's a lot of money.
You know, I haven't really thought too much about that. I'm sure they would say they would, but it's a big commitment. I mean, you're out there for 3 weeks. They do, a lot of locals open up their homes, but to step away from your life for 3 weeks to do this, and you're, you know, nobody's funding you, is kind of a big commitment. So I'm not sure if there was some way to, I mean, with the arts, doesn't it always come down to some kind of underwriting just to keep your head above water? If that part of it could be worked out, I imagine they would. I think that some folks are, who've never had to stand in front of their art, never had to explain it, they realize there's sort of something magical that happens there.
Yeah, that interaction with the audience, yeah.
Yes, and I was very curious about how the kind of black-clad art world people would react when they arrived. I thought, are they going to look down their noses and be a little snooty? And I think they were all just transfixed by, oh my gosh, the Grand Rapids, Michigan has figured out how to get out the grandmas, how to get out the triple-wide strollers, get everybody out to see art. Nobody else has figured that out the way they have, and they were fascinated by it. So I think a lot of, they sort of go back to their own communities and talk about this amazing thing. I was really curious how they would respond.
Yeah. The film is titled More Art Upstairs. It'll be screened at the Falmouth Arts Center on January 16th and the Chatham Orpheum on January 19th. Jody, you'll be attending these screenings and hosting a discussion afterwards.
I will. Apparently I'm doing a coffee before, and then I love doing Q&As and listening to what folks thought about the film and what they want to talk about. I love the conversations. That's pretty much why you do documentaries, is to spark these kinds of conversations about ideas big and small. And I believe art can change people and where we are as a country right now. So I'm looking forward to it.
We'll have more information about the screenings of More Art Upstairs at our website, capeandislands.org. Jody Hassett-Sanchez, thanks so much for joining us.
It was lovely. I'll be up there tomorrow.
Coming up after break, we hear how the partial government shutdown is impacting local residents.